In this season of Advent, we've been talking about expecting. That's what Advent means. You look for the coming, and you celebrate the coming. And not really on purpose in the sense of me sitting around and making a decision to do it, but there's been a thematic thing rolling through my spirit about the awareness of the Holy Spirit, the awareness of God's voice and his guidance and leading. That's just, if you've been around here and in church the last several weeks, that's just been kind of thematic as far as what's going on. Before I read the text, I want to just reference a story in Mark chapter 9. There's a story where a dad brings his son, and the son had a spirit that caused a self-harm, essentially. Would try to throw him in the fire, would try to throw him in water and drown him and things like that. It's a very interesting story in that the father brought the boy to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't help him. And so in that whole process, then the dad and the son come to Jesus. And now you may be aware of what goes on here. They come to Jesus, and Jesus speaks to it, takes care of it. It's a spirit, casts the spirit out of the boy. And then not just that, that's cool. But what's really cool is we get to go into the green room after, right? We get to go into the behind the scenes thing after church at Applebee's as they're sitting around talking, right? And what he says to them, because they're like, why couldn't we do that? Like, I thought we were supposed to be able to do all the things, you know, and why couldn't we do that? And he says, well, this kind of thing only comes about with prayer and fasting. That's what he tells them. Delineating. Like there's not just everything is everything, but there's a lot of things and then there's some things. There's a lot of things that we can address in our life, in our walk with God for deliverance and healing, all those kinds of things. And then Jesus said, yeah, but then there's some things that are in a special category all by themselves. As a disciple of Jesus for 30 years, that's intriguing to me. Right? The disciples could do miracles. They did. They did miracles. Jesus literally danced, it says, when they came back and said, the devils are subject to us. He sent them out in pairs, and they moved through the country, and healings and miracles and all these things happened. And then yet, they weren't able to help this boy. And Jesus looks at them, and he says, yeah. Well, see, some things require something else. And it's that something else that I'd like to talk with us about today. The pursuit of that something else. Today's message is simply titled that, the some things. Now, if you'd go with me to Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read 9 through 14. It's going to be on the screen. This is going to be a passage that I preach from for the next 3 weeks. That's the plan. So we're going to preach through this for the next 3 weeks. I'm just going to look really at verse 9, but I'm going to read it all today. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, that you may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. On Wednesday, when we had First Wednesday, we prayed through, verse by verse, we prayed through these verses in chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, systematically, ticked through them, clicked right across them, prayed through them. Over the next 3 weeks, I plan to preach from these particular passages. But today, I just want to look at verse 9. So if you could throw that back up there, Matt, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you, but here's the prayer. Here's the prayer. Asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Through all the spiritual wisdom and understanding, throw that next slide up there, that the Spirit gives. It's spiritual wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. You can get knowledge, you can get wisdom, you can get understanding. But some things are only a wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. It's funny, people ask me things about God, it comes with the job, right? Right? You're a pastor, people ask you stuff about God. And I will look at them sometimes and I'm like, I don't know. They're like, yeah, but what about, I'm like, I don't know. And then they get mad at me. They like get a little aggravated. They're like, what do you mean you don't know? And I'm like, have we met? Like, I'm 53 years old. I don't even know how an air conditioner runs outside of my house. What do I know about God? I don't know anything about God except what he tells me about himself. Only what he reveals to me. What in the world would I know about God if it's not revealed to me? I don't know. What do we know about God? When I think of that, I think of step three in the 12 steps for AA. I think of step three. Step three says that we make a decision to give our life and will over to the care of God as we understand him. Or it might be as we understood him. But anyway, as we understand him. So you turn your life and your will over to the care of God as we understand him. Now, what's interesting about that, there's a little bit of a ring. Are you hearing that, Vic? I'm getting a little ring up here. So, as we understand him was added. So it used to be that we turn our life and will over to the care of God, period. But that came off churchy. That came off religious, and we definitely don't want that, right? So they added, and they were going to be more inclusive. Whoever did it, whoever got together, whatever, you know, the committee, those people, whoever they are, they got together and decided that they would add as we understood him. You see, they added that as we understand or as we understood him. They tried to be broad, but they were narrow. They actually narrowed it. As we understand him, how'd they narrow that? Well, they made it a him. What if it's a she? What if it's an it? The article in front of the noun for the Holy Spirit is feminine. The Holy Spirit is a feminine gender in the scripture. If you're familiar with Spanish, I'm familiar with Spanish, I've taken Spanish. So casa, right? Mi casa, su casa, you know that whole thing? Casa is your house, but it's feminine, casa. Amiga is feminine. Amigo is the dude, right? It's masculine, right? Cocina is your kitchen. That's feminine. And you would say, la cocina. La, the article before that, is a feminine article. The cocina. La cocina, right? So what I'm saying is, in the words in Scripture about the Holy Spirit, that article is feminine. Recently, there was a, well, I don't know how recently, 10, 15 years ago, there was a book and a movie that came out, and it was called The Shack. And in the book, there's a fellow named Mac, and Mac has what's called the Great Sadness. It's rough. And he sees God, except God is a black woman. Now, the pushback on that was pretty significant from the Christian community. And as I tracked that, I wasn't sure if it was because she was black or she was a woman or both. I wasn't really sure. I never figured it out. But the pushback was significant. Now, what was interesting, when I was reading the book, and I was reading it, and Papa, he called God Papa, but Papa was a black woman, I pictured Whoopi Goldberg. That's who I saw in my head. That's who I was. I was casting Whoopi Goldberg as God. That's just what I saw. Every time he talked to her, I'm like, Whoopi. Yeah. Now, in the movie, it was Octavia Spencer. Octavia Spencer was God in the movie. And interestingly enough, this wasn't in the book, but in the movie they took a little license. Octavia Spencer was a neighbor for Mac when he was little. And when his life was really, really difficult, very traumatic, very difficult, He went to her house. She was safe. And so when he needed to see God, he saw her because she was safe. Now, interestingly enough, carrying on the whole deal about, you know, frustrated with the casting of God and such, when people are upset, I just want to go, clearly you haven't read the whole book, right? Because at the end of the book, Papa shows up, but Papa shows up as this grizzly hiker guy with like shorts, wool socks, flannel shirt, you know, salt and pepper beard. That I was picturing, my casting was Sam Elliott. So I went from Whoopi Goldberg to Sam Elliott. And so Mac is asleep, and Mac, hey, man. He comes, you know, Sam Elliott comes up, growling, time to go, son. That whole thing, right? That's what I pictured. Now, in the movie, it was a Native American guy. But here's what's so interesting. Mac wakes up. He looks and he's like, Papa? You know, it was Whoopi Goldberg and now it's Sam Elliott. Like, Papa? The Papa figure says, yep. He said, where's Whoopi? My translation, where's Whoopi? He says this. He says, I'm who you need today. I'm who you need today. Yes. And God to be Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, first and last, who we need to be today. And we, being male and female, all made in his image. But I look at this and it says, we read in verse 9, he says, I'm asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. There's knowledge and there's understanding and wisdom. And I've often taught and tried to share with classes and different groups of people that knowledge is the information. Understanding is the application. And if you have wisdom, you can probably teach it. So our ability to track, my ability to track my calculus professor in college, like I had that. And I could sit there and track it with him and watch and be with him. I'm going to see if I get any amens out of this. I'm tracking with him. I'm totally watching f at x over dx and the range and all those different things. And I'm watching and I'm getting it. And then I would walk, I don't know, 900 yards from the classroom to my dorm room. And something magical happened in that transit. It all disappeared. Like I got in my room and I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen this in my entire life. I was just there, right? And then there's knowledge where I have knowledge, right? And I got knowledge. I got knowledge because he taught it on Tuesday and I only need to know it till Friday. I got knowledge until Friday. It's a shelf life, right? There's an expiration date on that, right? And I finally get that test done and flush. There it goes, all gone. I got the knowledge of it. But we know there's something different. Knowing how to do algebra and knowing how to teach it, those are different dances, right? Knowing the material, the information, the knowledge, but the understanding to apply it. Isn't that funny? We do, in math, we do like, they're called number sentences, right? And you do pages of those. And when your teacher was cool, they gave you odd ones, right? So, yeah, and the answers were in the back on the odd ones, so those are always more cool. So, like, you do all those, just number sentence, and all you're doing is remembering a pattern, and you can be in a coma and do that. You're just remembering a pattern. If we, by any means, threw in words, everything goes away. If you throw in, Mrs. Jones bought a washing machine, sales tax was, people's minds stop right then. It's over. Like they just, they're like, oh my God, I can't even believe what? Okay, here's the deal with that. The issue is that there's some knowledge, but the understanding's a little thin. What's the application for me? That's the understanding. How am I taking this and internalizing it? Can I actually go to Best Buy and not have them steal from me? Can I actually know what's going on? And the wisdom is to be able to share it with someone else. A working knowledge. Wisdom is you can handle the questions. Wisdom is not just PowerPoints and talking head and no feedback. Wisdom is you throw something back at me, a question, a personal application, and the instructor can handle it. The knowledge is broad enough. The application deep enough. But where does wisdom and understanding come from? What's it say? Verse 9. Put it up there, Matt. They're praying that you're filled with the knowledge of his will, but that comes through all spiritual wisdom. And this next one, throw that last one up, that extra little bit there. The understanding that the Spirit gives. You see, there's knowledge that we can get and wisdom and understanding, and we can get that for sure. But then there are some things that only the Spirit gives. It's an understanding that only the Spirit gives. I'm thankful to be in a church that believes in the Spirit. I'm thankful to be in a church that believes in the active work of the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of the Father. Peter saw this, right? Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Oh, John the Baptist and Elijah. They went through the whole litany, right? And then Peter says, what did he say? "You are the Christ, the Redeemer." Melinda loves to say, "The Rescuer." You're the Rescuer. You're the Messiah. You're the Christ. You're the Redeemer. And what does Jesus turn to Peter and say? Immediately, he says, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but something spiritual. It was my Father. It was something spiritual," which is bizarre to me. Peter was hanging out with Jesus like up close and personal, right? He was like with him. They were hanging out. They were walking together. They ate meals together. They worked together. They journeyed together hour upon hour upon hour. And that wasn't what did it. Some things only get revealed by the Spirit. Some things only by the Father. And Jesus said as much. Jesus said as much. "Even though you've walked with me, even though we've journeyed for however many months, maybe even years, you're aware of what other people are saying. You know the same stories. But Peter, something else revealed that to you." There is this operation of the Spirit that is available for us. It's available for us to hear and be guided and listen to. I think of Paul. Many of us are familiar with this passage from Paul, "that I may know him." Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. If you've got a paper Bible, it's pretty quick. You just flip a couple pages and you're there. Philippians 3:8. I'm going to read through this and we'll talk about it a bit. "What's more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing." I'm just going to read this, Matt, for some reason. Let's read this. "Everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith." Now, here we go. I want to know Christ. Some of us memorize that translation, "Oh, that I may know him," right? I want to know Christ, and I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him. I want to share in his death so that one way or the other, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. That's what I want. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved. Pay attention to that. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things, that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that which Jesus Christ first possessed for me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. Paul says, "I haven't achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race, receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." Interestingly, as you read through that, Paul says this. He says, "I consider everything a loss compared to the greatness of knowing." And he says, for whose sake I've lost all things. You see, Paul said, I consider all things as loss. That's one thing, right? For you to have all that you have, and you're like, oh, I consider it as loss. You still got that RV? Yeah, but I consider it as loss. I don't have to have it. Still got that car? Oh, yeah, absolutely, I have the car, but I consider it as loss. It's nothing to me. I could unload it at any point. How about your house? That too. And that might be true, but we still have it. What Paul says is I consider it all as loss. And then he goes on to say this, and I lost it. That shouldn't be passed over. Because it's one thing for me to say, oh yeah, I'm willing to give it all. I surrender. Like, I'm willing to give it all, right? But I still got it. I'm willing to give it, but I still got it. Which is true. I think I'm willing to give it, but I still got it. Paul says, I count it all loss, and I lost it. Like, it's actually gone. It's gone. Now, that's the knowledge piece, right? To think, well, I count it all loss, and I lost it. So that ought to work. Here I am. I've arrived because I have done what I said. Except it didn't. Because he said, I still haven't attained. There's some things that require a connection with the Spirit. There's some things that require this following of faith, this working it out in our life beyond just, I lost it all. Matt, do you have verse 15 in the Message? Do you have that there? We just read 3 and we ended on verse 14. But I wanted to pull this up, verse 15, the next verse in the Message. Paul says, I count everything as loss, and I lost it, but I still haven't achieved. I still haven't attained. We read that. I paused. We read it deliberately and slowly. I still haven't attained. But this is what he's doing. But I press. What does a press look like? I press toward the high calling of Christ Jesus. And look at this. Let's keep focus on that goal. And here's where he draws a line in the sand. Those of us who want everything God has for us. This is not about salvation. This message today is not about salvation. This message is about discipleship. This message is about capacity. This message is about the purpose banner, the orange banner over here, redemption. This message, we talk about salvation and faith in who he is and all of that. And we talked about freedom. We had Freedom Weekend just a couple weeks ago, right? We celebrate that. But today's message is about redemption. Today's message is not about do this to be saved. It's not about do this to be free. It is about in order to be used, let's connect the orange banners for his purpose. In order to be used for purpose, some things require spirit. Some things require a leading. Some things require that we keep focused on the goal to know him, who he is, pressing toward that. For those of us who want everything God has for us. Now, you don't have to raise your hand. I get it. If I said, now who in here wants everything that the Lord, I got that, right? My question would be still that question. Who wants everything God has for you? Right? Everything. Everything God has for you. Not for me, for you. Everything God has for you to live out, for you to enjoy, for you to experience, for you to do, everything. There are no deal breakers in this game except saying no to that. There are no deal breakers in the redemption game except for saying, well, I really don't want all that you have for me. That's it. Because if we say, I want all you have for me, and I will follow and press and listen, then what about my background? Is that a deal breaker? What about my hang-ups? What about my anxieties? What about my addictions? What about all that? What about the brokenness that I bring and the relationships that are just scattered behind me like a desolate background? What about that? Are those deal breakers? Never. 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 The only thing that puts pause on this, that hits the pause button, is for me to say, well, I don't really want everything he has for me. Let me just take a quick pause myself and say there have been a couple of times in my life where I was looking at something that was pretty difficult, traumatic actually, and the thought of it actually occurring arrested me to the point that I was having a little conversation with my Savior. I was like, you know, maybe I'm not your guy. Like, maybe I'm pretty sure I don't want to pay that price. So if someone were asking me, Andy, do you want all God has for you? What's it cost me? Because what I think it cost me, I'm not so interested in, because that hurts. I just don't think I want it. It's not my salvation. I don't think he'd be like, well, you're out. Nope, that's not what I think. I liken it to my gym coach, like I have one, but I liken it to my fitness coach who would say, Andy, you are down to 215, my friend. Good job. Good job. You're down to 215. Now, if you got down to 205, you'd be healthier. I'd say, we're good here, pal. Thank you. Thank you. We're good here. I might be better at 205. I might be healthier at 205, but I'm content at 215. And I have moved. I'm not going to tell you how many pounds it was, but I have moved. And thank you for your time. Check's in the mail. He said, you could get healthier if you go to 205. This isn't about not having, this isn't all or nothing. This isn't about not having any capacity for God at all. That's not what we're talking about. But there is this thing that can get us and grab us and fire us up, frankly. Help us say, you know what? I want what he's got for me. I want everything he's got for me. And the Lord being my helper, I'm willing to pay whatever price that means. Because in those moments that I just referenced, those couple of moments, here's where I came to. I come to that thing that I talk about all the time, you know? Jesus comes to the disciples. He had some hard sayings. The scripture says they're hard sayings. Eat flesh, drink blood. That was kind of provocative to a Jew. Hard sayings. They didn't have a shelf for it. They didn't know what to do with it. By the hundreds, people left him. What's Jesus do? He looks to the disciples and he's like, are you going to leave also? And what does Peter say? This is what I reference all the time. This is what anchors me in those moments. Those moments of, I'm not really sure I want to pay the price you're asking me to pay. I'm not really sure. I'm interested in seeing this, how it affects me and my family. I'm not so sure about that. In fact, I'm pretty sure I don't. I go back to that story. Jesus says, are you going to leave too? And I say what Peter said. Where are we going to go? Where am I going to go? You have the words of eternal life. My intersection with Jesus Christ changed my life. My intersection with Jesus Christ changed my life. Where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? It would be foolish to go. So, Lord, I need Arnica up here. Precious Lord, take my hand. We need to sing that right now. No joke. Precious Lord, I'm kidding, brother. You don't have to come up. He's ready. He was thinking, He had the organ already set on the keyboard, man. He was ready to go. I wish we could all be that quick to respond. You think I'm asking that and you're on it. That's what we need, isn't it? That wasn't a setup. That just happened, but it's a good point. We could all just be that quick to respond. We can't make the Spirit do anything. That's not what this is about either. You're not going to make the Spirit do anything. Got the cart before the horse, if that's what you think's going on. That's not what's happening. But we can acknowledge and we can be aware. We can acknowledge and we can be aware that it's there. My thoughts went to Jesus walking on the water. Jesus walking on the water to come to the boat. Like they cast off, right? And then he's hanging out to pray and he comes, he walks on the water. I'm not really focused on Peter, you know, but it wasn't even on Peter's radar. It wasn't even on, who thinks that's going to happen? Well, I'm done praying a little bit early. I guess I'll go catch up with the guys. Start walking. Who thinks that's going to happen? And what's the big cosmic purpose anyway? Why? Why? That's one of the most famous miracles in the Bible. There's a lizard called the Jesus lizard because it walks across the water. They're like, what should we name him? Let's name him the Jesus lizard. He walks on water. That's the truth. What is the purpose of Jesus walking on the water? I don't see any purpose at all. Peter saw it. He saw him. And he asked, he says, Lord, if it's you, what's he say? How many of us, me included, would have just said, hey, is that you? Is that you? I was a sailor. I'm right here in the boat, my man. Is that you? You want to come? Nope, nope, not interested in that. Just wondering if it was you. See, Peter wanted everything. He wanted everything God had for him. None of the other guys said that. None of the other guys. Peter asked the question, hey, is it you? And then he said, if it is you, bid me come. Can that be the place that we're in? If I could be presumptuous enough to say I feel the Holy Spirit in that when I say it to you, can that be the place that we're in? We're like, Lord, is that you? Because if it's you, bid me come. If it's you, I'm stepping out of the boat. I didn't even know we could walk on water, but you are, and I'd like to. And I'd like to be with you. So if it's you, some things only happen with spirit call. With spirit call. I'm going to close. Now you may come, my brother. I think of Jacob in Genesis 28. Jacob is running from his brother. Uses a stone for a pillow. Has a dream, sees a ladder. There are angels going up and down. The Lord is at the top and speaks to him and he says, I am the Lord God of your fathers. And then it is Jacob who says, God is in this place. Surely God is in this place. And I knew it not. Early this morning, I actually looked that up because in my mind, I was quoting through that scripture and I thought, God is in this place. Surely God is in this place. And I thought, I wonder if he said was. He said is. You see, the real-time closeness of God, the awareness that God is in this space. Elijah was on a mountain. There was lightning. There was wind. There were all these, the elements. It was an earth, wind, and fire concert, man. It was wild up there. And yet God spoke in the small voice. Small voice. The Spirit was calling, not in the big, but in the quiet. But God was there. Elisha, he's plowing. All of a sudden, Spirit calls him. Matthew is in the seat of custom. He's a tax collector. He's literally in front of his computer work in numbers. And Jesus walks up out of nowhere, these moments of spirit out of nowhere, and he just simply says, follow me, and walks on. And I think that's a moment that we could just set in for all of us. Would I say, did you hear something? Because it wasn't a long conversation, it was a two-word sentence. Follow me. And Jesus walked on. It wasn't like, hey, man, I really appreciate you. Been seeing what you're doing. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the prayer. Get it. All the things in your life. And then I was wanting you to think about it. Maybe we could have coffee next Tuesday. He just simply said, follow me. My senior year of college, I had one of those moments. I got one word, now. That's what I got, one word, now. And I argued with the Lord. I'm like, it's my senior year. It's like the last month. Come on. I've been living for this. I've been living for some of the parties that I know we're going to have. You know what he said to me? Oh, you know what he said. Nothing. That's the truth. Nothing. That is the truth. He said nothing else. He'd already said what he needed to say. And it was now. Now, let me just give you a little sidebar, personal thing, super quick. In that next 30 days, because I wasn't God-fearing and I wasn't a follower of Jesus. In those 30 days, the last 30 days of my senior year of college, and I didn't realize it until years later, but I'm talking about the power of saying yes when he asks you to go. I faced every demon in my life in those 30 days. I faced every single one. We can talk more about it sometime, but I'm just telling you right now. I didn't know it until years later that that was a gift of God to call me in that moment. Because once I graduated, some of those demons were never going to get addressed. I was in a different place, different world. He let me tie up loose ends that healed me, and I had no idea. That's why when he asks, I'm like, you're a lot smarter than I am. I'm going to say yes. Peter saw a vision just before lunch. That'd be a good time right now. Paul's conversion wasn't all at once. Paul was certainly knocked off the horse, wasn't he? The blinding light and the voice and all that. But he said, you've still got some work to do because some things happen like that. Go see this man, Ananias, Damascus, street called Straight. Go see him. He's going to tell you a little bit more. Unfolding. Paul's conversion. The call to Europe. Paul was wanting to go into Asia, Turkey, Northern Asia, Asia Minor. The Spirit stopped him, but the Spirit didn't give him anything else. It just stopped him. And it wasn't until that night, I was telling Tyler this week, we were doing a Bible study in Philippians. I said, man, I would have loved to have been at dinner that night with Paul. When earlier that day, the Spirit says, no, you're not going anywhere. You're not going any further. But I'm not telling you where you're going yet. I would have loved to have been in that dinner. And hear the frustration, if he had any. I don't know. Maybe he didn't have any at all. I think I do. I might have. But that night, there's a vision. And a man in Europe, the Macedonian, which is Greece, calls. He says, come over to us. That's how this works. Some things are just this Spirit draw. Do we want all that he has for us? It's Advent. We know Jesus came, but we're celebrating his coming. We're going to sing, aren't we? Oh, Holy Night, he's singing, Oh, Holy Night. We know he's here, but we celebrate his coming. But that story of Jesus' birth, when he sings this and we sing together, we sing this Christmas hymn together about that holy night. We know 2,000 plus years later, but they didn't. You see, some things are only revealed by the Spirit. Brian and I were talking about that a while ago. What, 20 people? I don't know, some shepherds? Who was there? How'd they get there? Let's just pause and think about that for a moment. This Oh Holy Night, how did those people get there? They were called to be there. The Spirit reached out to them and said, hey, angels spoke to them. And said, hey, there's something I want you to be a part of. Again, we can't manipulate the Spirit. We can't allow ourselves to be aware of it. Matt, would you throw up Colossians 1:9 just one more time? We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. But it happens in this particular way. Through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So as we sing together, my call for you today, what I'm trying to do in my own life, what I prayed about this morning when I was praying myself. I want to be open to everything the Spirit gives. Some things only come through prayer and fasting and spiritual dynamics. Some things, God has called so many of us in this room into this kind of space. And I pray that this morning you'd allow yourself to be aware of it. That's usually the first step. You're just aware. I'm aware, not salvation, not freedom, but the call into my purpose, redemption. I'm going to start listening. I'm going to listen right now. What is it? And when you call, I will answer. Father, thank you for the calling of your Spirit. Thank you for your work in our lives. Thank you for coming hidden. People's eyes were blinded, unable to see. But Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes today. Clearly, we know that you came 2,000 years ago. But what about your coming today? What about the awareness of your arrival today? What about the awareness of the move of your Spirit to be alive in other people's lives today and how you would want to use us in that? The miracles that you'll channel through us, the faith that will move through us, the purposes of God, the knowledge of God that will come through what the Spirit gives. Pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. It's the Lord. Oh, praise His name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Evermore proclaim. Oh, a thrill of hope the weary world.